Good morning, church. The peace of the Lord be with you. Today is the first Sunday of the new year. And once a year, as the Lord wills, we get to wake up to a brand new year. It's safe to say that 2020 has been a challenging year for all of us. I don't think anyone could have imagined at the start of last year that our lives would be so profoundly impacted by a global pandemic. Hardly any aspect of life has been untouched by the pandemic. My thoughts and prayers go up to those who have been infected or who have lost loved ones because of the coronavirus. It will be a year that will be long remembered in history. And I'm sure many of us are glad that it's over and we can look forward to the new year with hope and a bit of optimism that things will change for the better, especially with the recent rollout of COVID-19 vaccines. New Year's Eve for my wife and I this year was different from previous years. Instead of being able to celebrate with family members and friends, we had dinner all by ourselves at home. And as we moved closer to midnight, we spent some time in prayer and then turn on the TV to watch some of the New Year countdowns from around the world. I still find it a bit nostalgic watching another year slip by, never to come back again. That's the fascination of time. Back in 1923, an American publisher wanted a one-word name for a weekly news magazine that would describe the passing events for that week. He chose the word time. Time is really a mystery. We sense its passing in our consciousness. We measure its progress with delicately adjusted instruments. We mark its flight and read the record it leaves behind. But the one thing we can't do is truly define it. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the American poet, once wrote, "What is time? The shadow on the dial, the striking of the clock, the running of the sand, day and night, summer and winter, months, years, centuries? These are but arbitrary and outward signs, the measure of time, not time itself." The Bible teaches that time and life are tied together. It's amazing when you study the whole universe that it's organized for measuring time. Nature is like a huge watchmaker's shop in which many timepieces are ticking away. Pulse beats indicate the fleeting moments. The rotation of the earth marks the passing of day and night. The phases of the moon mark the moving on of months. The revolutions of the planets around the sun indicate the passing of years. We read in Psalm 90, verse 10, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength." As I look back at my life, time has sped by so quickly. There's a saying that as one gets older, time seems to go by faster. For children, time has a different quality. Thinking back to my childhood days, summer seems to last forever. And it felt like an eternity between Christmas and birthdays. We seldom think much about time, except when we're running late or when we're cramming for a final exam or getting ready for something important. Time is like being on a canoe that's carried down a river by its current. It just keeps moving on, and there's no turning back. But where is it taking us? And what are we doing while we're on this trip? Many people seem to be always fighting the clock habitually as a way of life. They stay up late, and they sleep in as late as they can, and then frantically rush off to work or to school gulping down an unhealthy breakfast in their car, applying their makeup or using electric shaver at the stoplight, and then texting, illegally of course, on their smartphones all the time. It seems that we're great at multitasking when we're in a hurry. You know, if you study the life of Jesus, you'd be amazed that he never seemed to be in a hurry. Although he was doing the most important job in history in redeeming the world, and although he knew he only had about 3 years to do it, he never ran. He walked everywhere he went, and he took the time to consider the flowers in the fields and the birds of the air. He had time to put his hand on the little children and bless them. Time was his friend. If there's anything that we truly need in this new year, it's to spend time staying close to God, to grow in his love for us, to seek his will for our lives, and carry it out. That will certainly carry us through the new year, no matter what the river of time may bring our way. As we read this morning's text from Psalm 31, we can see that it's a prayer. But it's probably not the kind of prayer that we would pray out loud or with our hands folded. It's probably the kind of prayer that we pray to ourselves while we're working or driving alone or when we're under a lot of stress, as David was when he wrote this psalm. An interesting feature of the psalm is that portions of it are often quoted in other scripture passages, often as a prayer. I want to look at some lessons that we can take away from the psalm that would help us overcome any fear of the new year. The first lesson is to combine Christian self-talk with prayer. In this psalm, David is doing what I call Christian self-talk. You know, sometimes we have to convince ourselves that we are who we are. We're children, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, heirs to the very throne of God. We're so important to God that he sent his only son to ransom us when we were mired in sin, so that we can boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. That's who you are, and that's what you need to do to keep remembering yourself, even if you have to talk yourself into it. That's how David does it. He says in verses 9 to 11, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me." Boy, that sounds pitiful, doesn't it? And you thought you had problems. His eyes were growing weak, his body and soul were racked with grief. David's life at this point was a mess. So bad that even his friend have not only deserted him, but now hold him in contempt. They don't even want to be around him. David certainly wasn't minimizing his problems. Like many of us, he had issues to deal with, and they weren't just minor ones. But he was honest with his feelings to God. He pours out his thoughts to God, and then comes a self-talk in verses 14 and 15. "But I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me." We all need to realize that our times are in God's hands. It's not what happens to us that determines our emotional state. It's what we tell ourselves about what might or might not happen to us. And what we tell ourselves will be largely shaped by how familiar we are with the Bible. After all, God's word tells us that it's a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Even Jesus Christ prayed from this psalm for his comfort as he hung on the cross. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord. He was praying right up to the time of his death. He sets the example for us to pray fervently and often, and to tell ourselves the truth about every circumstance that may come our way in the new year. A second lesson found in verses 16 to 24 is to recognize God's constant grace and mercy. Verses 21 and 22 reads, "Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, 'I am cut off from your sight.' Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help." You know, there'll be times in this new year when you feel cut off from God's sight. You may wonder if God has forgotten about you. You may ask, where is God when you need him? But there's good news for all of us here. The good news is what we sometimes hear at the end of a worship service. The Lord makes his face shine upon you. Verses 16 and 17 reads, "Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you." The good news in the midst of life's chaos is that God hasn't abandoned us. He is right here with us. The phrase unfailing love is the Old Testament equivalent to grace in the New Testament. In this psalm, David recognizes God's constant grace and mercy in his life. But many Christians don't experience God's constant grace and mercies in their lives. Why? Because many don't live out their faith 7 days a week. Sure, they come to church on Sunday to worship and praise God, and they experience his presence during the service. But come Monday, they're caught up again with their busyness and the associated chaos. We're assured of his constant presence and help if we sincerely seek him with all our hearts, not just on Sunday, but the rest of the week as well. We can ride out the storms of life and the gates of temptation if we let Christ be the pilot aboard the ship of our lives. When God's face is smiling on us, that means He's shining on us. What more could you ask for in the new year than to have the Lord God smiling down on you? If you go down to Brockton Point in Stanley Park, you can see several totem poles there. It's a display by the BC First Nations artistry. I didn't realize it, but they're the most visited tourist attractions in BC. Most of them are beautifully painted with multicolors, but many of them have sad-looking faces on them. What a contrast to our God, who loved us so much that he came here in person to smile on us while he walked and talked with us. Jesus endured the Father's wrath over our sins so that we could see his face smiling on us forever. Jesus was forsaken by God the Father so that we don't have to fear the time when our lives will pass in review before him. And that's not all. Not only do we experience God's goodness each and every day, but we can also say there's more where that came from. Verse 19 reads, "How good is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." This is the God who is able to do much more than we can ask or imagine. You can trust Him for your future, both your future here on earth and your eternal future. A number of years ago, the Greyhound Bus Company used a slogan in its commercials that every Christian can apply to the Lord God. Some of you may know it. Greyhound stopped using the slogan for a while, but I heard they're using it again. There's a catchy jingle that went with it, and it goes like this: "Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us." I can hear the Lord God in His gentle whisper saying the same thing to us: "Leave the driving to me." What He's really saying is, just trust me and I'll get you where you need to go. A third lesson for us is to adjust our lives to conform with Christ. When we as believers are identified with Jesus in His suffering and death on the cross for our sins, we're also identified with Him in His victory over death. If we adjust our lives to conform with His, if we relate intimately to Him, we can make His victories our victories. When He overcomes, we also overcome. We actually live by the life and the victories of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't imply the absence of trouble in our lives. Rather, it's the transformation of those troubles into good when we place them in God's hands. Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." How can we be more and more like Christ in character and in power? We can by following Him in the lifestyle that He chose for Himself. If we have faith in Christ, then we must also believe that He knew how to live. We can, through faith and grace, become more like Christ by practicing the same activities that He's engaged in to remain in constant fellowship with God the Father. So what activities did Jesus practice when He was here on earth? They included such things as solitude and silence, prayer, simple and sacrificial living, intense study and meditation of God's words, and service to others. Yes, even the Son of Man practiced these activities. Stanley Jones, a Methodist missionary to India, shared about a missionary couple who were so in love with each other and shared each other's experiences so completely that they sometimes had trouble distinguishing his experiences from hers. One time, the husband was telling a guest at the breakfast table of a dream that he had the night before. His wife interrupted, "Why, Frank, did you dream that dream, or did I?" A Christian who conforms to the life of Christ can have the same experience as him. We can say to Jesus, "Master, did you win that battle, or did I?" And we can hear him gently answer, "Why, we both did, for my victories are also your victories." That doesn't apply just to the major struggles of life. This also applies to our everyday lives as well. Jesus shares our lives right down to the nitty-gritty of everything that we do: our work, our play, our studies, our everyday activities. That's the kind of God that we have to guide us through the new year. One that we can trust, one in whom we can have confidence for the future, no matter what the future may hold. The last lesson is to learn to not nurture your fears. We don't know what the new year has in store for us. There will be times when we have trouble. We're hoping the COVID-19 vaccines will help to eradicate the virus and bring this pandemic to an end. But we don't know. No matter what, the Bible tells us to fear not, or do not be afraid. In fact, this phrase is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. That doesn't mean that you can't have normal fear, the kind of fear that makes you move out of danger. Normal fear is the fear that makes you jump back onto the curb when you see a car approaching. On the other hand, abnormal fear is a fear of life, an ongoing fear that something is bad is going to happen. It's a lingering fear that affects our daily living. It's a fear that is placed on our hearts by Satan himself. Do you know what drives out fear? 1 John 4, verse 16 tells us, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him." And then jumping to verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Our fears will not be removed by saying, "Cut it out, swallow your fear." No, the steps to take begins with facing your fears realistically and replacing them with a faith in the living God. Say to yourself the words from this morning's text, "But I trust you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands." I want to share about two accidents where the vehicle that I was riding in got totaled. The first time was when I was still in university. A friend and I were heading up to Whistler to do some skiing. He was driving. And as we were going up the hill just past Furry Creek on our way to Squamish, the car started to fishtail out of control. This was before we had front wheel drive. We had hit some black ice. The next thing that I remembered was the car sitting in a ditch on the right side of the highway. A witness told us that our car had rolled over once before landing in the ditch. If our car had gone over the left side of the highway, we would have gone down a steep embankment onto the railway tracks. Fortunately, other than a few bumps, neither of us was seriously hurt. In the second incident, I was on Vancouver Island with a work colleague. We were driving from Campbell River to a project site at Gold River. About a few kilometers before Gold River, the road became very windy. And somehow, I missed a turn and went over the side of the road and down an embankment. I had fallen asleep at the wheel. By God's grace, the car only went partway down. Heavy shrubs prevented the car from going all the way down. It was a miracle that both my colleague and I escaped with any injury. As if totaling a rental car wasn't bad enough, the RCMP gave me 5 points for driving without due care. As I look back on both incidents, I am reminded that our times are in God's hands. In both incidents, I could have been seriously hurt or even killed. In the first incident, I wasn't a believer. I shudder to think where I would be if I had been killed. In the second incident, I came to know Christ about 2 years earlier. The truth is, we don't know what the next moment will bring, let alone the next hour or day or month or year. But God is always good, no matter what he does in our lives. As Christians, I believe that we're invincible until our tasks here on earth are done, and then it's time to enter his presence. I'm thankful that God spared my life in both incidents. This is not always how the story ends, but whatever God's will is for our lives, we don't have to worry unnecessarily or fear about the future. if we realize that our hands are in God's hands. Even when things don't make sense, such as what's happening with the COVID-19 pandemic, the good news is that God is still in full control. He doesn't need to quarantine. The reins have not slipped out of his omnipotent hands. There's no need to fear for tomorrow, because God is already there. Our present as well as our future is under God's personal guidance. If only we slip our hand into his and let him do the guiding and the leading. So as you begin a new year, spend your time wisely. Take the time to get close to God. Study his word. Apply its truth to your life. And then get to work for Jesus. There's no better way to use the time of this new year. I want to close by reading an old English poem by an unknown author. It's titled, Take Time. Take time to work. It's the price of success. Take time to think. It's the source of power. Take time to read. It's the fountain of wisdom. Take time to worship. It's the highway to reverence. Take time to be friendly. It's the road to happiness. Take time to laugh. It helps to lift life's burden. Take time to pray. It's our lifeline to God. Take time for God's word. It brings Christ nearer to us, and it washes the dust of earth from our eyes. Take time for God. It's life's only truly lasting investment. I want to wish all of you a blessed new year. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, with the start of this new year, 2021, we reflect on your goodness to us in 2020. Through the good times and through the bad times, you have been there for us. You provided for our needs, and you protected us. We thank you for your enduring faithfulness. Father, we really don't know what the new year has in store for us, but we know we don't need to fear, because you will be there with us. The time that we have is precious. So may we use the time that's given to us wisely. May we acknowledge your grace and mercy in our lives. May we adjust our lives to conform with Christ. And as we do, may we repeat what David said in the song. I trust in you, O God. I say that you are my God. My times are in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.